Hi, everyone. Lisa Gunther here with Canadian Cattlemen, and I'm here with Kelly Sidorek, our Depth of Field columnist. And we're going to talk about her January column, which focuses on a different way to run meetings called the delegated meeting process. So first off, Kelly, just tell us what that is.
Well, it is a way of running meetings differently with really specific roles. But not only that, and we'll talk about the additional roles and responsibilities, but the premise is that the roles actually rotate. So there is a lot of opportunities to team build and skill build and support each other in this way of doing things.
So what situations is this approach more useful?
Well, one of the pieces that I learned about is that if you are in a crisis situation, this isn't the best, or if you're simply needing to share information. This is for meetings where the team needs to come together, make important decisions, make some plans that support those decisions, and have some sort of monitoring process, but move forward with that.
What are the benefits to this approach?
I think one of the pieces is that it gives everybody in in the operation or the organization a chance to learn more about the specific roles. You know, in leadership, we often find that it is the same people coming to the chair position, for example. And this can be a way with the rotating roles and responsibilities that we can really help build skills in the up-and-coming, if you will, to get more comfortable at being the facilitator, or in this case, the decision-maker, decision-driver.
So we were talking about, you know, like just ways we might incorporate this with groups that we both are with, and like, are there ways that you can incorporate just elements of this process, do you think?
Well, I certainly think so, because I think with many tools, and instruments, as you will, if you will, that we can use in our operations, what really makes them the most effective is if you adapt them to your own set of circumstances. And I think this is one, you know, whether it's just one of the pieces of making sure that the roles are clearly defined and you rotate them intentionally, that can be one of the pieces of that. You know, another premise or attribute of this process is that there's quite a bit of advance time spent developing an agenda, but if the facilitator is the one that does that, but they also gather ideas and input well ahead of the meeting and then craft the agenda, distribute that well ahead of the meeting, and it has quite specific timelines built into it too. You know, I think that helps that everybody's been in the meeting where, you know, it's supposed to be for an hour and a half, and the first hour was spent on, you know, catching up and socializing, which then only leaves half an hour for important decisions. And this can be a way, because they also have a decision driver role that really keeps people moving, and that's their role. They still participate, but it's to say, okay, you guys, on our agenda, we said we'd have 10 minutes for an introduction and catch up. 10 minutes, we're now at 15 minutes. We've got to move on. And, you know, then that isn't all left to the chairperson to be trying to navigate the great ideas. Has everybody spoken, or the facilitator in this case that really drives the energy forward?
Where does this this idea come from? It seems quite different in some ways from Robert's Rules of Order.
Yes, for sure. It was developed by a coach and executive leader by the name of Alan Cardon, and he is the head of the Metasystem Coaching and Consulting Network, which is actually based in France. He did a lot of studies there, but he's also closely connected with the United States as well. I learned about it from a ranching family, multi-members, multi-generational, multi-enterprises, the James family from Colorado. And they've really found that for their big family meetings that happen three times a year in their case, using this type of approach has really helped to improve their effectiveness, their communication, their relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting way of doing things slightly different.
Yeah, I can see it. I could see it potentially being a real fit for those big family meetings. Or I don't know, do you think it would work for succession planning?
Oh,
potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, some of the ideas is, you know, you need somebody that keeps driving things forward, but also those that end up being that person, if it's not a third party, you know, that becomes a bit tiresome after a while. And if you can change that out and say, you know what, this next meeting, everybody's agreed, you know, we've got to review the finances or the investments, whichever example you want to use. So that's going to be on you this time. And you can pick the place, you can organize the food and come up with the agenda. We'll all get input into it. And so I think it has a lot of value.
Great. Anything else you want to add, Kelly? Or?
Well, certainly, as we said at the beginning, you know, if you're in a crisis and need a decision, you know, we're not going to spend time deciding, you know, having people try out the different roles. But you can really see that, you know, if you don't have a super large team, that over a couple of years, people could get kind of proficient and the meetings wouldn't all look the same either, which can have value and hopefully assist in our decision making and communication.
Great. Anything else you want to add today?
No, that's great. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Kelly.